This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Matt Varghese and Ben Parker. From maker interviews to tutorials and more, we're here to talk about all things no code.
Hey, everybody. Ben here with Visual Dev FM, back for another episode, and we're so excited you're here with us. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Lacey.
Hello.
And Matt.
Hola.
And I'm just going to tell you right now, we're still in this month-long focus of women in tech. And last episode was with some of the women from the Parabola team. It was an incredible interview. If you haven't listened to it yet, we're going to tell you to stop, pause what you're doing, pause listening to this, go back and listen to that episode. That interview was really great. And so lots of good stuff there. Definitely check that out. Today, Lacey has an interview with the founder of Softr, Miriam. And so looking forward to that as well. It's a really good interview, and hope that you enjoy that. And that's coming up right after this, which is our typical, as usual, we're going to start off with our no code roundup. So to kick things off, we have some Zapier news. So after my ringing endorsement of Zapier last week, we have Zapier news, which is now, we talked about this before, you could share links to Zaps, but that was in beta. And so now they have changed that. Anybody can share a Zap with a friend or with the public, so they can kind of see how you set up a Zap and the steps that you took, which is really cool. No Code Jack tweeted about it. Zapier's tweeting about it. Some links to those tweets in the show notes. Go check that out. Really cool stuff. Also in the Zapier world, Coda and Zapier kind of had a collab going on where they, Wade, who is the CEO of Zapier, he shared a doc that was, it was a template for how you can run your distributed staff meetings like Zapier does, which is really cool. So definitely go and check that out. It's an awesome Coda doc. And I think you'll really like it. I was really digging it. There's some really cool things there for a way for people to report how they're feeling about updates and progress, and how to decide what to talk about kind of collaboratively. It was really cool. So loved that resource. Glide. It's just never stops with the Glide updates. Glide has the ability to edit conditions now. So it gives you more control over what can be edited in-app. So their example is allow users to only edit their own profile. So, you know, if you let people edit profiles, that's great, but you can actually say only let them edit if it's their profile, if the email matches the current user's email, which is awesome. So definitely a cool use case, and you want to go check that out.
So does this mean like it's more, I guess, in the word I'm looking for, I'm losing it, but essentially like you can have unique profiles on your app for each person, so they can go in and manipulate their own data for whatever it is your app's use case is, and then it saves that to their app, and they're not able to, you know, mess with other data in there. That's what I'm assuming that means.
That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds very similar to Stacker permissions, where you can set it up so that, you know, a user can only modify a record or maybe even read a record that they've created. So that way I'm not giving full rein to edit any record in my database. So in Glide's instance, giving free rein to edit any row in my Google Sheet. So this is sweet. Like I think it opens the door more for building a full app with like actual user permissions instead of, you know, free rein for everyone.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Very cool. I'm excited about that. I mean, I love all Glide updates, so this is really interesting.
I'm really intrigued by it. I think there are a lot of people who build really cool things with Glide, and I think this is just that next step to that next level where you really do. I mean, if you wanted to build your own kind of social app or your own marketplace app and really be able to restrict access of what gets edited but still allow that freedom, it's just – it's wonderful. It's so powerful. So you can see, I've been thinking of a few things that I could do with this. And, you know, and the way Glide works, that wonderful data in a Google Sheet and Google Sheets being able to update other apps like Webflow and only letting people be able to update, you know, certain things. I just think there's a lot of fun you can have with this to really tie it together with, you know, multiple apps and do some fun things. So anyway, this is a really cool update. Link to this tweet in the show notes. So definitely go check it out. Another new Coda doc that I saw on Twitter. This was from Julius, who is actually a part of the Webflow team. Really great person. He said the tweet was spent some time today pulling Texas primary results into a doc and listing all the races that could be winnable or should be defended. It's so cool to see what people can do really quickly with Coda and external data and be able to pull some stuff in and shape it, manipulate it. This is a really good example of the power of Coda. So definitely go check this doc out. Really cool. Also, if you don't follow Julius on Twitter, you should, because dude's awesome. Okay. So some awards. It feels like award season. So Webflow tweeted that they were honored to be recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative companies in design for 2020, which is unbelievable. And if you looked at the list, which link in the show notes, you can go check it out. They were number 2 right behind Nike. Unbelievable. So really cool for the Webflow team. Nike, Webflow, Starbucks. I mean, are you kidding me? That's unbelievably awesome. So really cool Fast Company list award. And so definitely so is that, check that out.
Is that like all types of design, or like what does that extend to?
So you can read it. It's so funny because in the card preview it says Nike. It says Nike, Starbucks, and the Weather Channel, which is really funny. I'm like, oh, but Webflow is number 2. Like, what's happening?
Why'd you leave them out? Yeah. Say its name.
Yeah. So it says, but their description is the design companies that caught our eye this year and showed a willingness to grapple with some of the most complex problems of our time. From waste to cryptocurrency, others made the list for simple but indispensable design solutions. You know, they even had ergonomic keyboards, running shoes, phone booths that make noisy open offices a little more tolerable. There's a wow. lot of different things. But the description for Webflow was this tool, which makes it possible to build apps and sites without any coding experience, has been around for a few years. But 2019 was a breakout. The company announced $72 million Series A round in August and a new milestone of 45,000 users. So pretty wow. cool.
Yeah.
That they were listed there. Like I said, a lot of really cool companies on that list. Logitech was on that list, and I know Logitech mentioned Webflow in their Instagram story, which is wild. So you're just like, worlds colliding, all kinds of stuff happening. Super cool. So really happy for them. That's it for Webflow in the design category. So stoked to be a part of that list and to be a part of that team. Coda was also mentioned by Fast Company for innovation, but as an innovative company, but in the workplace category. So they came in at number 6. So congrats to the Coda team. Other companies on that list, you know, Microsoft, Dropbox, DocuSign, you know, Lattice. There's a lot of really, really cool companies on that list. And I think it's awesome that Coda was there too. So once again, link in the show notes. Definitely go check it out. It's worth taking a look at. So Joshua Tiernan of No Code Founders, I don't know if he ever sleeps or rests or what he does. Like, I want to figure out how he does things, because he releases more things. I think this is just like the beauty of no code that really empowers him. But he announced that he released Makers, which is MAKRS, and it's MAKRS.io. If you want to go to the website, link in the show notes. And it's a project that allows, you know, makers to have a super simple portfolio and just keep track of everything that they've worked on, kind of have a list of all the projects and all the products they've been a part of building and creating, which is really cool. So definitely go check it out. If you're listening to this and you're a no code maker, go sign up, get yourself a profile. Really, really cool. MakerPad has some new stuff. They had a Coda workshop this week, and I think that was recorded. So you should have the ability to go back and check that out. Tom from the MakerPad team put that on. Really awesome. I haven't got a chance to check it out yet. I was working when it happened, but I'm super excited in the next day or two to go back and dive in and see everything that they covered. I think we've covered this here, but I'm a huge Coda fan, so definitely worth checking into. So there was a tweet that caught my eye, and I don't know if either of you follow – this person, but it's at Yo Rumi. Anybody?
No.
I've definitely seen his tweets on my timeline, but I don't follow him. I think he's big into no code. I mean, I'm sure that's why we're talking about him. I haven't looked at this part of the outline yet, but
yeah. So his name is Mike Williams, and has a YouTube channel, big in startups. And so he has started a company. He tweeted, today's a big day and it feels like a huge step in the direction of doing what I'm truly passionate about and love. We just relaunched ThinkBot Makes to build and help build marketplaces using low and no code. I think this is so cool because it's a company that just, they're building no code things, but they're just building no code marketplace. I mean, that's so niche and, you know, very, very narrow focus. But if you look, there are a lot of people who want to build marketplace apps. And I think it's really cool that there's going to be this place that people can go to get help building their marketplace app. You know, he talked about after building and launching Studio Time IO using no code a few years ago, he saw the benefits of no code firsthand and how it's easy to take an idea to launch and add new features and, you know, really quickly. And so, but it's a great tweet thread about what they're doing and some of the strategy they have and what they're all about. So definitely go check it out. It's really, really good and definitely worth looking into. Webflow updates. So Webflow did post some updates this past week. They announced they have OR filtering. So before you could do AND filtering. You could say if this and that, then, you know, show it in this list. Now you can do the same thing. So you could say if before it was like if category is this and tags are that, you know, you did that before, but now you can say if category is this or a category is that, show it in this list so you can kind of combine things. It gives you a lot more power. They talked about how they surfaced item IDs a little while back. And there's a new experience in the asset panel, which is really, really cool. It's a new wide view, which lets you, it makes it a little bit easier to browse through all of those images and files and documents you have in your asset panel, which I'm super, super excited about.
I'm hoping the next iteration of this is that I can delete all my unused assets. I know, I'm sure Ben knows something here, but he will not tell us. Classic Ben, not revealing trade secrets.
I don't know what we're talking about. I will say, you know, the update is really slick and there's so much that you can do.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
And they say, one of the things they did say, which we can talk about, as the first in a series of improvements we're making, added a new option. So we definitely know there's more coming, which is really awesome. And I know the team is hard at work. A lot of really great people working on this and super excited to see where it goes.
To the designer experience team, because they're crushing. I said that on Twitter a few weeks ago, because like these small changes that keep coming to that, the designers just making the experience a whole lot better.
So the team that built this and worked on this is actually part of the team that works with the CMS.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But it's actually moving into more of a, into the designer experience area. But so good people worked on it. Great people worked on it. The people I get to work with are amazing. And not that I had any role in this, but like they just did such great work and I'm super excited about what's coming together in the future. But just credit where credit's due. Lots of great work there and love it. And I know a lot of people are excited about it. And also now speculating about what's in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 updates. What does that look like? Right. So really, really cool. And super excited about that. MakerPad one more time. Tom did the Coda workshop, but he's also doing upcoming a Bubble workshop, which is really cool. They're going to deep dive into everything Bubble with the lead for success at Bubble, David Spiro. So definitely, since it's available for everyone, I don't think you have to be a member to check that out. So definitely worth jumping in and looking into. If you've been thinking about dabbling in Bubble or building something in Bubble, now's your chance to kind of dive in and learn more. Really cool. So crisp bags again. So first of all, JetBoost, if you haven't used it, use it. We can't say enough great things about it. It's such a great tool. So definitely go check it out. JetBoost.io, link in the show description. I'm going to get a shirt that just says link in show description, by the way. Like that's my next shirt. I say it too much. So he did post it. We talked about this in the last episode. He posted a tweet with a screenshot of the JetBoost logo in the Webflow Designer. And We talked about what that was, and then he posted another tweet just keeping like all of the interest and intrigue going. He posted mock-up or is it real? And then disclaimer, this is in no way approved or endorsed by Webflow, but it was a video of him working in the designer with the JetBoost piece there, or showing how it would fit in there, which is really great. So if you haven't seen that, check it out. It's really interesting. But on another front, speaking of Parabola, last week in an interview with their team, he did talk about how you build a flow in Parabola to convert a Webflow collection text field into a reference or a multi-reference field. So if you had a text field and you had red, comma, green, comma, blue, you could convert that into multi-reference fields that were red, green, blue. It's a really cool flow. I took a look at it, and it's super awesome. This is great work, and I can't wait to see. I think he's talking about putting together a tutorial for it. That'd be really cool. So I hope he does. Chris, if you get to listen, if you're listening to this, we're for it. Please put this tutorial together. We'll share it as much as we can. So it's good stuff. And we talked about the 100 days of code, no code, 100 days of no code last week, and from Max. And Joe from New Code is a part of this as well. So he's partnering with Bubble Group and Max, and they're launching 100 Days of Code Challenge on Build New Code, which is really cool. So that's on New Code. So go check out their website. A link to that challenge here in the show description. Definitely go jump in if you were looking to build something, or you just have a little extra time or an idea you've been tinkering with. Now's the time to build that and jump in on this challenge. It's going to be really good. And finally, rounding out our update, the No Code Rumble is still happening. So if you want to go check that out, the website is rumble.pro. Or if you are on Twitter, and you can check it out at, I think it's at No Code Rumble. Yeah, at No Code Rumble. So definitely go check that out, and you can catch updates on what everybody's building and where they're at. Looks like there's a lot of really cool stuff happening there. So, you know, make sure you spend some time diving into that Twitter account and following those tweets. Cause if I'm correct, I think most of the updates are happening on Twitter and possibly YouTube. Definitely something you want to check on.
So with that, with the like updates happening on Twitter, I was just curious, and if you're listening to this, I would love to know your thoughts too. From my perspective, it seems like Twitter is the main platform that like the no code community is using. And if you're not using that, but you are growing and like you have a community off of there, I'd really love to know what that is. You know, we are all on Twitter. We're active, love it. And hate it sometimes, but you know, for the most part, so it just made me think. Like, I just see so much happening on Twitter, and I don't see it on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, or whatever the young kids are doing these days. So I was just curious.
I very much so doubt the young kids are on Facebook.
They may be. I don't know. I mean, they would check into places.
Maybe we got to make the move to TikTok.
I was going to say, can we TikTok no code? Like, we just. I don't know, it's Matt's interpretive dance to whatever.
There we go. And then, that is, you know, that's actually my hidden skill set, interpretive dance. Most people don't know that.
You'll be able to watch it, and then you can, if you watch it correctly and enough times, you'll be able to decipher a parabola workflow based on that interpretive dance.
There you go.
That's how we're gonna spread the no-code movement. TikTok is the new king. Fun. So fun. Well, yeah, check out No Code Rumble. Lots of stuff like happened on Twitter. I know that they're streaming YouTube, Zoom, so definitely something you want to check out. But as always, we want to thank you so much for listening. This week's kind of light on news. There just hasn't been a lot of talk because most of the talk has been, if you are looking at anything, about coronavirus. And so I want to encourage everybody, stay safe, look after yourself. We thank you for listening and enjoy the interview. It's coming right after this with Miriam and Lacey, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Deuce. Thank you, everyone, and welcome to this episode on Visual Dev FM. We are speaking with Miriam, and she is the founder of Softr and is a no-code platform. And I am so excited for you all to get to hear from her today and learn more about the platform and her background in general. So let's just go ahead and jump right in. Miriam, can you tell me more about yourself and your background, how you got into software development?
Yeah. Hey, Lacey. So very great to be here. Thanks a lot for the invite. Yeah, so I'm an ex-engineer, director of engineering turned into an entrepreneur. I love all things tech, and now I'm starting to get more and more into and passionate about all the other aspects of building a successful business, like understanding customers, sales, marketing. Coming from a tech background, you never really imagine how much hard work is involved in building an entire business on top of just building your product and tech. And yeah, I mean, I'm coming from a tech background from a pretty early age. My father was an engineer, so I actually got into tech and math at a pretty early age. When I was at school, we had a subject about programming language BASIC, and I remember my father explaining me some of the concepts and helping to write if-else program. And that was so fascinating, and as a child, I really fell in love with programming from that age. And then I joined my first company while studying and just kept learning and growing in every aspect of engineering. Basically, yeah, in short, that's how I got into software development. It's not a very untraditional path, I have to say, but yeah.
That's great. That's great. So your dad was an engineer and you picked up those skills from him, or like, yeah, that's exactly how you were exposed to it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I basically picked up the skills from him, and then I also studied math and computer science at school. So yeah, that's where I started.
Yeah, that's awesome. So excuse me, while you were learning all of this, was it commonplace to be a woman learning, you know, math, computer science, and, you know, engineering? How was that viewed, or was there even a view on it?
Yeah, so I have to say it was pretty, there were at that age where I was, I guess there were lots of also women going into math and tech. Even at school where I studied math, I have to say there was even in our class, there was time when there were more female students than male. And I have even worked in a company where there were more female engineers than male, which is a bit surprising. But generally speaking, of course, there is the gap always. There was also the gap back in Armenia, and I see it even more in Germany, where I'm based now. And yeah, definitely the gap is still there. However, I have seen more and more people going into tech. And also, on the other hand, one of the key things that helped me to get into tech was that my parents, and especially my father, would always kind of encourage me to get into, to do anything I like, or to that I can become anyone I want. And basically also getting this first kick from him to learn about the math and tech, that kind of was a basis for me to start going into that direction.
Very cool. That's so awesome that you were encouraged in that direction. That's one thing I would love to see more of and hope to help be a part of, is starting from a very young age. I have, as I told you off air, I have two small children, daughters at home. And one of the things I'm so excited about is showing them more of the tech side, allowing them to have different perspectives on education and learning, and really trying to hone in on what they're interested in. So what would you say that you love most about software development?
So I always mentioned that if I were to start my career again with all the learnings I have now, I would again choose to be in tech, more specifically start as an engineer, because I believe it's one of the most creative, fulfilling, and really rewarding jobs one can have. And the second profession after that is the doctor for me. Technology, I think, is an enabler for most of the part of our today's life, right? And almost everything is digital and moves towards that. So engineering, I see it as being core part of it. And the most fascinating thing for me is that you don't have to go on it to today, in today's world, you don't have to go to an expensive university or learn for 10 years before you can do anything with that profession. Anyone, as long as they're committed and driven They can learn software development, they can become an expert in an area and earn a decent living while they are doing the job they love. It's one of a few jobs, I believe, that pays you to learn and grow while you are doing what you love.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, like in tech is as always evolving, you have to always be learning and being open to learn and open to, you know, broadening your horizon. So I definitely think that that's awesome. And I think you're right also, like tech is very powerful. And what you can do with it is just, you know, fantastic. So, yeah. So moving into that of, you know, we are in the no code space, where, you know, we take abstractions of code and we build with it, and it allows people who don't have a tech background, who have never written code, or even if they have written code, to be able to build products really quickly. And you are working on a platform that relates directly to that. Would you like to share more about Softr and you know what you're building?
Yeah, sure. So Softr is a no-code platform that lets non-tech founders and startups build complex, responsive web apps without writing a single line of code. Imagine as Shopify, like Shopify for marketplaces or SaaS platforms. So you can basically build Airbnb, Uber types of products with Softr. Working as a software engineer for the past 13 years, I realized how much repetition exists in the world of software development. Basically, if you imagine 70% of all the functionality of all those web apps are the same, but every company I have been keeps reinventing the wheel and building these things over and over again. And in fact, engineers don't enjoy that part because it's all repetition. And as you know, good engineers are lazy engineers, right? Who love automating the repetition. And yeah, on the other hand as well, being in leadership roles, I was hiring extensively for about 4 years, and I saw the scarcity of software engineers. In fact, every year there's a statistic that says there is 1.4 million software engineer jobs created and only 400,000 computer science graduates. So there is a huge gap of 1 million software engineers right now in the world. And this gap is not going to close anytime soon, as everything becomes more digital. It's only going to grow bigger, if anything. On the other hand, not everyone wants to learn how to code, right? I know from your own example, you tried that, and I know many other people who tried that. It's hard, it's tedious, time-consuming, and you just might not be willing to put also just effort and the years of learning it to become really an expert. So what Softr does is we productize all this common repetitive functionality and offer those as building blocks, enabling companies and individuals to build only what's unique to their businesses. That enables them to build entire applications within days, if not hours, with only a fraction of the costs compared to hiring an engineer.
I love that. I love that. I'm really excited to see the platform and really can't wait to see other people use it and how they're going to use it. So is this the first company that you've founded?
Yes, that's the first company. This is my first company. And I have always wanted to build something on my own. I had in the back of my mind that I would love to spend all my hours and efforts on something I believe deeply and see lots of people using it. I think entrepreneurship is at the same time one of the most riskiest things you can do with your career, but also one of the most fulfilling and rewarding experiences when you see thousands of people using your product, making their dreams reality, especially with a tool like ours, which we are building.
Absolutely. So what made you want to build a product for the no-code space? Were you involved in the space like prior?
No, I wasn't really involved. And honestly, when I started working on the idea, I didn't even know there are such tools out there, of course, except the website builders. And I surprisingly found out that after talking to lots of people and not really seeing that they know these tools, I surprisingly, just by research, found out there are some tools already doing these kind of things and helping build some complex applications. But most of them were enterprise focused and very expensive. So it was kind of similar to hiring an engineer. And we saw a gap when we talked to lots of entrepreneurs, etc. We saw a gap in the area, basically kind of like consumerizing that product, which already exists, and making it more available and more easier to use for non-tech people, especially startups, early stage companies who have the biggest need, and it's kind of a hair on fire problem for them.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So how many people do you have helping build software right now?
So we are two co-founders. We have two engineers working with us, a UX person. Yeah, it's not that's the team right now. We are not a very big team yet, but we are moving pretty fast. So yeah, hopefully soon something will be already available to test out for our early adopters.
Yeah, for sure. So was it difficult finding developers to create this platform for you?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And in fact, it wasn't so hard, I have to say. It's also the reason being, maybe one of the reasons that I do have a lot of network of big network of engineers, etc., because I have been in that space before, and my co-founder as well. But on the other hand as well, if you talk to engineers and if you are from the inside, you might know that engineers really love working on challenging problems, and they love building hard products. Anything that is repetitive is usually at some point engineers get really tired and get bored. And I had so many people interested in just joining the mission. And then the idea was so fascinating for them that some people were even ready to just jump in and join, start helping out. And then, yeah, we would figure out how we go forward.
Wow, that's fantastic. So it's like, I love the no-code movement. Obviously, I'm involved. It's a very big thing to me. And one of the things that I see, you know, especially that I've seen in the past is like people trying to pit developers against no-code or no-code against developers. And I really feel like there's such, like, it is not a, you know, if you're a developer, then you can't use no-code tools, or if you use no-code tools, you can't use code. And that's just a silly way to approach it. But what are some things do you think that, like, how the movement in this space can encourage more developers to, like, join with, like, creating more products and tools for people to, like, visual development tools?
Yeah, absolutely. And being an engineer myself, I can see why many developers are very skeptical about the whole movement and the tools. And the name as well doesn't imply really, it's not the best name probably for this movement, because it kind of applies that there is a negative in it and we don't need engineers anymore. But in fact, we need even more skilled engineers, I would say, who solve more important and hard problems, because the no-code can take care of the rest and the repetitive and the easy part, but we still need these skilled engineers to build, first of all, those tools, but also some of the more complicated stuff, which not necessarily can be built with no-code. And biggest fear for engineers, biggest fear that engineers have about such tools, I believe, are security, reliability, performance, and how much restricted they are by the functionality that's provided by the tools. Engineers like having control of their code and knowing they can change, fix anything, anytime if something breaks, because that's what they are good at. On the other hand, if the tools require a learning curve and don't provide an immediate value, it's very hard to convince an engineer to learn that new tool, especially with limitations, instead of just learning to do the same thing with coding. So having said that, however, I think great engineers like automating the parts that are repetitive and building the meaningful things, which is what, in fact, no-code tools provide. So if the tools, I believe, are really good enough and eliminate my wasted time as an engineer and still allow me to build on top of that the additional things I might want, then most engineers will definitely use it. And even now, engineers already use lots of tools to build like whole projects. They reuse lots of open source libraries or SaaS products like OAuth or AWS and lots of other examples.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. I definitely agree. And like, as you said earlier, like no code doesn't really, it's not the best way to describe, you know, what the change and transformation that's happening right now. There's been, you know, I've seen so much talk around it of, you know, what do we call it? And it's, you know, it seems like no code is gaining traction. I think it's an easy thing to explain to people who aren't, you know, technically skilled with writing code. But I do agree. I think, you know, everyone agrees that it's not the best way to position it, because it is, you know, it is like saying that you don't need the engineers, you don't need all this. And in reality, we obviously cannot build anything without these abstractions of code. So I 100%, you know, agree with you on that. And that, you know, my next question was what's missing in the no code movement? And I think I could answer part of your question is just a better name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably the smallest thing that maybe can be improved just by changing the name. But I guess I would say also what I'm missing to see are the types of no code tools that don't require a big learning curve and are still powerful to allow complex web app building. Because, you know, if the non-tech people or even a bit tech-savvy people have to learn the code and the tool, and it takes really long time, then it kind of really fails the point, right? That it's a no-code tool. I believe that's what will enable mass adoption and trust in no-code tools, the tools that really come up to be really easy to use, but also on the other hand, powerful. And yeah, we hope software will fill that gap.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm really excited to see your tool. And, you know, I do think there are definitely with some of those, there's a big learning curve, or they're kind of clunky, or, you know, people aren't quite sure what the limitations of the tool are and what they could, you know, what the use cases might be. So I'm really excited to see what software looks like. And hopefully I want to be one of the first users to go in and take it for a test spin. So I'm really excited about it. So in kind of like wrapping up our conversation, what do you think are some good ways that people who are in this space right now and they're listening to this, you know, we have a very diverse background. We have entrepreneurs, we have founders, we have people who are just interested in, you know, what's kind of going on. There's product people, you know, all over the map. What are some ways that they could, you know, be involved or get into the movement more to help kind of reach other people of, you know, where this movement is going? And like, it's really targeting anybody that has an idea or has something they want to see come to life, but doesn't really have the budget or doesn't have the time to spend on a full out development build.
Yeah. That's a really good question. I think the movement itself is still very early and premature. It's just the last year that it became more and more popular, right? People started talking about it. And people sometimes I talk to don't know or even believe it's possible to build web apps without code. And however, I believe that's the future. And it's just inevitable as software education is complex and it can't keep up with the pace of innovation and technology advancements. Tech, I think, is currently holding so many people and ideas back from moving fast that it's just going to happen sooner or later. I think what you are doing with Visual Dev School is a great example of helping more people to get involved. And first, as more and more complex and sophisticated no-code tools are created, I think awareness needs to be raised, and then education comes next. Communities, tutorials, schools, podcasts are all great initiatives to do exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And thank you. We're really excited about it and, you know, helping more people get involved and wanting more education centered around this space. And we're, you know, working to facilitate that as quickly as we can. So Softr is, it's not in beta yet, right?
No, it's we have been doing some testing last year, but we are planning to release the first version, a working product, not just a beta version, but real working product pretty soon, in about 2 weeks or so. So yeah, I'll definitely share that in the no-code community and with you as well, so you can broadcast it to your own network, and definitely looking forward for you and others to try it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely let me know. We'll happily share about it on the podcast and then, you know, Twitter or any other networks that we're on, because we'd love to see it and love for others to be able to see it too. And thank you so much for coming on and talking with me today. And I'm really excited about what you're building and doing. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you are the only woman in this space building a actual no code tool. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, because I've searched high and low. And so that's really encouraging and exciting too. And I hope that encourages other women to step out and, you know, get into this space. And even if you're developing for this space, you know, you are officially not alone. So
yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot for the encouragement. And yeah, I hope that also encourages a lot more other women to get into the space.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much and have a great day, and definitely do let us know when Softer comes out, and we'll be happy to share about it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Lacey. Thanks for the invite. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdev.fm.